Our reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, from the book of John, chapter 1. We're going to commence reading at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
I feel like Christmas has started. If you're an Anglican or somebody who follows the liturgical calendar, Advent has started. So as I wrote a little while ago in a Link article, that means I can now officially celebrate Christmas. I don't have to be so grumpy about the music in the stores. Now, I just want to know, who here is really excited about Christmas? Hey, Alice, for the record, her handout went up first, all right? Who feels a little exhausted about the idea? All right, so many. Huh? That's pleasant. Now, I'm not going to ask who doesn't like Christmas, because that would be just mean. But we are going to do a series on a couple of Christmas carols. And we're not going to do the songs like Jingle Bells, which are all fun and frivolous, but it would be very difficult to make a great sermon out of. Though I was thinking in a couple of years I might have a crack at those crazy songs. But these are the carols that we sing, which always shock me that our society loves singing still. They're the songs that tell the story and boldly proclaim the meaning and hope of what Christmas is about in Jesus. So all of our really big carols events still have, as their signature songs, these great hymns, essentially, which blatantly talk about Jesus. So we're going to look at a few of those. A few years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, we used to go around and sing carols at people's homes and visit aged care centres. Bob Murley would drive the bus, if any of you remember Bob. And I remember, like, just down the street here, every year would sing it, Gabrielle Coyne's, but Mrs. Coyne to me, her house. We would always begin singing with this song, "O Come All Ye Faithful." This song is a very old one, probably back in the 13th century. It was finally written down and compiled by a guy called, I'll find his name, John Francis Wade, and then was translated into English in the 18th century. But we've been singing this a long time, translated in 123 different languages, of which English is one. Originally it was in Latin. It's a great carol. It's an awesome way to start a night. I haven't looked at our street party list. Is that our first song? I haven't looked. But it would be an awesome way to start the night. In the second verse, you've got this descant line that starts and then it kind of kicks in the last verse, really lifts the song. The chorus builds and it has as big a finish as you could ever want in a carol, doesn't it? Especially when they half the time, and if you had the pipe organ going, it would just, and with all the pipes in, it would work amazingly. So this carol is a great carol. Did you feel that as you sung that? You're like, "Oh yeah, I like singing this one." Not too late for the pipe organ. You're up for it, are you, Kingsley? Okay. Okay. It's noted. Thank you, my friend. It's a big carol and has a great invitation. And the invitation in this carol is that the faithful on earth and the angels in heaven will come and adore Christ. That's an amazing invitation. And it reminds us that the centre hope of what Christmas is all about is it's all about Jesus. The faithful, it says in that very first line, are to sing with joy and triumph because their fortunes have turned. This is what you hear in, say, Mary's song. At our staff meeting this week, we read the Magnificat, the passage in Luke chapter 1 where Mary sings. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she sings a song. And you just think about that. She's a young Jew. She's in a persecuted nation under Roman rule. And all she has, in a sense, to tell her that the future will be different from the past is a growing bump. She's pregnant with this promised Saviour. That's all she's got. If you read with me, just turn to Luke chapter 1 and have a look at some of the words she says. I mean, if you could find this faith in adults, it would be incredible. This is a teenager singing this song. All right? She sings. She's just pregnant with a small bump, probably about the second trimester. She sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Down to verse 52. "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Her sense of hope that the future will be different from the past is immediate. She believes that because of what God has promised in this child that we come to know is called Jesus, that the future will be different from the past. She sings a song of joy and triumph. For anyone who's been longing for a turn in your fortunes, for justice, anyone who needs mercy, anyone who wants to be lifted up and strengthened, this is the song for you. Because even in your circumstance right now, this carol says, come. You can sing with joy and triumph because your hope has arrived in Jesus. Come and adore him. Come. There's one line in verse 3 that grabs my attention. And is why I think the angels fill the sky with these songs and the faithful dare believe that their fortunes could turn. It's this line. "Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing." You remember singing that line? Such a tiny little line. It has a truth in it which is bigger than you could ever believe. If you stop to think about that, these are almost impossible words to comprehend. And those words come out of the passage that we just read before, John chapter 1. So back there, if you are reading with me. And it's coming out of verse 14 of John chapter 1, where John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's why this carol writer could dare write that the Word of the Father is now in flesh appearing. He's writing, he's trying to capture in a few words what John says in the first 18 verses. That's a big thing, isn't it? I love it with my children when they grab my hand or I grab theirs. I love that feeling of little children taking your hand. I only said that to Jazzy this morning as we're sitting on the couch. We held hands because she wasn't feeling so good. So I said to her, "I love holding your hand." It's quite a spectacular feeling when a child grabs your hand. And you know what? It's very easy for me to imagine that I'm like a child with God. It's not impossible for me to think that I am a little person in this very big universe and that I would dare be able to reach out to the hand of this God and that this God would reach down and hold my hand. That's, for me, quite a powerful picture. Well, get your head around this picture. That the God of the universe is, in fact, the little child that reaches out his hand to you so that you might lead him. That's what this speaks of. Is that God, it's unfathomable how big this God is. It becomes small, tiny, fragile, and in history has reached out a hand and grabbed a big person so that they can lead them and help them through the world, feed them, care for them. That's what this is talking about. The Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. This is the crazy truth of Christmas. that we see God take our hand as the Word became flesh. Once you've wrapped your head and heart around that, another truth follows it. Now Jesus comes to us, it says in this verse 14, full of grace and truth. So not only is it unbelievable that the incredibly big God of the universe becomes so small, but also he comes to us full of grace and truth. The truth, that capacity for God to be true to himself, steadfast, trustworthy, faithful, to be true to all that's real and right. And grace, that ability to show a mercy that no one deserves and do it with a infinite, boundless, inexhaustible energy. Now, it's not truth that amazes me about God. I mean, if anyone's got claim on what truth is really like, wouldn't that be God, the ground of reality and being? If anyone knew what objective facts were, you'd think that would be God. He made the kind of objective facts. So truth does not surprise me. It would not surprise me if God came and visited our planet full of truth. What surprises me is that God has come to us full of grace and truth. I mean, one of the things that atheists often say is that the universe is a cruel, cold-hearted, uncaring place. I think that's entirely a logical conclusion about the universe we live in. It seems to be utterly disinterested in what happens to you. But it turns out that in Jesus we discover there is such passionate interest that the heart of the universe has at it not cold-hearted lack of care, but grace. Grace. It's grace that amazes me in Jesus. Such grace, too. I mean, in John chapter 1, it says that the Word was with God. The Word of the Father was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that has been made was made. Yet this God takes on skin, is born in a stable, lives among us. That's grace, isn't it? The grace of becoming one of us. It is an impossible miracle unless God wanted it to happen. And it seems that God wanted it to happen, that he'd come one of us. He'd become one of the least of us. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that the Creator would care so much about us, you. You know, we see at times, right across the world, and every day, we see parents give to their children more than they have for the good of their child. You see in poverty how parents will not eat so that their children can. You see parents give up kidneys, give up money, give up so much for the good of their child. Does it not surprise you that when you think about Jesus, you discover that is exactly what God is like? That God would give up so much for the good of you? That surprises me. It amazes me. It amazes me, this grace that Jesus, who comes to his own creation, verse 4 in this chapter says that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And it says that no one recognized him. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. And that's clearly talking about Israel and not receiving him, but it's also talking about humanity. So here is God, the creator of us all, comes to us all, and we don't care. We are not interested. And of all the things that God could do with a world that's like that, read verse 12. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. To a world that would reject God, The scriptures tell us that God is wanting us to belong to him. Now, the best news about being a Christian is not that you get a ticket to eternal life. It's you get a relationship with a loving God. And this comes through Jesus. The offer is through Jesus. That's amazing. Don't you think that's amazing? That's our table here. Because Christmas is the start of it all. But the table finishes it off, and it tells us that in life and in death and in life again, that God wants to give his only son so that you might come to know him as our Father, that you might belong to him as his child. So, don't you think it's right for the songwriter to say, sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation? Don't you think it's right for the songwriter to write to those who want their fortunes changed, sing with joy and triumph? Because born to you this happy day, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, King of the angels, Jesus. Jesus. Sing, you faithful, sing, you angels, come let us adore him. It's a good hymn. Silvia Palladino sang a really surprising song in 2009 at the Melbourne Carols by Candlelight. I thought it was surprising. Do you remember it? It was "Your Grace Still Amazes Me." It's a song about not just the birth of Jesus, but all the amazing news that Jesus is. "Your grace still amazes me." As we come to Christmas this year, why wouldn't we sing a song like this with joy and triumph and with adoration and worship? Why wouldn't we say, "Oh my goodness, this is better news than I could ever believe"? Why wouldn't we be so thankful at the great grace of God? As we approach this communion table, as we're handing out the elements, I'm going to have us play that song and listen to it. Be reminded again at how amazing the grace of God is in Christmas, in Jesus, and all that he's done for us. So this table at this Christmas time takes us to where Christmas begins. It tells us of what Mary was singing about, where the feet of the rich and the powerful will happen. It will be happened on the cross. Where the joy and triumph will be seen. It will be seen in the cross and the resurrection. If you are somebody today who needs to hear that great news that God's for you, he'll hold nothing back, then you need to know that that happened in Jesus. Romans 8 says it very clearly when it says, how can he who did not spare his own son not also give us all things? For me, the table reminds me of the generosity and the grace and the large heart of God for you and for me. This bread, Jesus said of this bread, that as we take it, that we're to remember that it is his body given for us. So as you eat that, may you eat and be thankful. And this cup, he said that this is the cup of the new covenant, a new relationship, that whatever your past is like, your future is different with God through Jesus. May you drink and know the forgiveness of sins and the promise of being a child of God and a great future. Let's pray. Our Lord God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, born with angels' song, born with incredible promise, I thank you, our God, that Jesus lived faithfully, showed us what life under you really looks like, and took our sin and shame to a cross. I thank you, our God, that Jesus, same Jesus, has defeated death and taken the sting out of sin, opened up for us new life so that we can live for you. May we receive this best gift at this time. Bless these elements to us as we remember all that you've done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.